Guess what, guys? I'm not a doctor. So if you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor. That includes diets, exercise, medications, and surgery. I love you guys, and be careful and consult
Welcome
your
back to
doctor.
Our Sleep Life podcast, and today is a patient day, which is my favorite. So, and this is a treat because I know her, you know her, we all love her. And if you don't know her, you're going to now. So on Instagram and TikTok, she is Grow with Shay, and she is Shay from The Waiting Table. Thank you so much for coming on, Miss Shay.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. This is so fun. It's hard not to just like get carried away in normal conversation with you because it's like, oh, this is like the actual podcast. We have to be professional here.
That's right. Just in the beginning and that's it.
Okay, good, 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 good.
Well, and for those that listen to the pod, you know that Shay's been on the pod, but we've never actually like sat down and talked about your journey. And I'm like, we have to do that. Yeah. We just have to. So let's get started. For those that don't know you, just, you know, kind of go through of like where your this all started for you and, you know, how did you find your surgeon and things like that?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's fun. I haven't told my story start to finish or start to present, I suppose, in a while. So it's kind of fun to revisit because it's been a while now. So I had the vertical sleeve gastrectomy surgery in March of 2022. So this year it'll be my 4-year surgiversary. Cannot believe it. And I was definitely one of those people who never in a million years thought I would get weight loss surgery. I was very against it for myself, like not for other people, but that's what I thought, right? Like,
right,
oh, that's
yeah.
for other people. That's
yes.
that's not something that would
them.
Be for me. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so really what started the beginning of my health journey, I'll say, is my husband and I, we've been together this year. It'll be our 10-year wedding anniversary that we've been married.
Oh, great. So
I know, it's so wild. And so what started my health journey was really wanting to conceive and have a family, have kids. And in our journey of that, it wasn't so easy for me and I didn't know why. And so it was at that point that I really just started looking at my health. I, at that point, got diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS. Any other sisters out there? I know there's a lot in the bariatric community.
Yeah, there's a shit ton.
Yep. And just learning more about like my hormones and how to properly fuel my body and eat the right, not the right things, but the things that made my body feel good. Because like many of us, I didn't grow up really learning, you know, I had no idea what protein, carbs, and fats were, and how it was important to get the right combination of those things. And so during that time, I really explored that. But I was really frustrated because I felt like I was doing a lot of the right things that should have led to losing weight. But instead of losing weight, I just slowly gained weight. And it was just so frustrating because I had plenty of doctors who said, that's why you're not getting pregnant. You're gaining weight. You're too, you know, you have too much excess weight. And so, it was just very frustrating because I felt like I was doing a lot of the right things and I didn't have the outcomes that I wanted. And so, fast forward, and my mother-in-law had had VSG surgery and she was the first one to kind of bring it up to me and just in a really good way, like not in a judgmental way or anything, but she was like, you know, she's a big researcher. So she's like, I was researching and there's a lot of great like fertility outcomes with bariatric surgery. Yeah. Have you thought about it? And I was like, I'm going to do it myself. Like, but thanks for letting me know. But no,
right.
like that, I don't need that. And at that point I was probably approaching my highest weight or at my highest weight, which was 283. So it was, for me, I felt like on the cusp of like, I didn't feel like I was, I mean, obviously I wasn't 600 pounds, right?
Right.
And that's how much like how media paints bariatric surgery and more of like that large scale. So I was like, well, I'm not to that point, but I also wasn't close. Like I had, you know, a good 100+ pounds to lose still. So it was like, what do I want to do? And so anyway, after thinking about it a lot and talking with my mother-in-law and her experience with it, I finally just weighed out the pros and cons of it. And it was like, looking at if I would have gotten pregnant at the time that we were trying before bariatric surgery, those risks would have way outweighed the risks of the potential risks that come after bariatric surgery, which are actually very few.
Very, very low. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's really what ultimately made me decide, yeah, like I want to do this. And then I was like both feet in, ready to go. And I tried to get into my local program here, but it was at the end of 2021 that I decided. So COVID was still kind of a factor, and they just couldn't get me in for a really long time to just start the program. So after doing research, my mother-in-law was the one who actually found Blossom Bariatrics, and unfortunately they're closed now,
but I know
a lot of people.
So many of you guys have come from Blossom in Vegas, and they are a great place. So it is a sad day that they have closed, but they are moving into different things.
And my surgeon, Dr. Matt Appel, him and I think are going to collaborate on something. So he's still doing bariatric surgery and I think is going to be able to help more people. So I'm excited for what's to come with that. But anyway, so that's where I had my surgery done. So it was a medical tourism experience, similar to those that have gone to Mexico, except this one was in the States. And so that was a cool experience to travel to Las Vegas, get the surgery done, come back home. And then...
Were you nervous for that part? Because, like, I know a lot of people are very nervous to travel. And you're not even traveling outside the States. So how did that feel to, like, go, I guess I'm not going to get this in town?
I wasn't nervous at all. My poor husband, Dylan, he does a lot of the worrying for the both of us.
He does. I know.
I'm the type of person that, like, when I have my mind decided on something, I really, like, jump in full hog. And so after I made the decision to get surgery, I felt really positive. The only time that I felt, like, nervous at all about it was just maybe the night before, because I had never had a major surgery up until that point. So I didn't know, like, what going under would feel like and, you know, and just, like, the nerves of, ooh, what's that going to be like? But other than that, I didn't feel nervous about traveling. We go to Vegas a lot. It's kind of our second home. And so I was thankful for that, like, we knew what it was like there. So it still felt familiar, even if it wasn't my hometown. So that part, I didn't feel nervous, but it's totally normal to feel nervous. I just did it.
She just doesn't feel nervous on a lot of things. She's like, she said, I know Shay very well, and she's all in, and when she's all in, it doesn't matter. So
sometimes it'll take me a little while to come around to decisions or to think through things. But once I make up my mind, I'm pretty like, let's do it. And I just get like lasered in.
Well, and I think that's good, though, because that's what you need for bariatric surgery, because you can't half-ass it. Like, you either are in or you're out. And when you're out, you know right away. Like, it's very obvious. You know, those are the, and not to throw shame, my brother did it, too, of, like, eating food way too early. Like, when you're not even told from the doctor you're supposed to go on solids yet, and you're already eating solids. It's like, that's a red flag for yourself, because you're like not following exactly what the doctor's saying. And that's what we really have to do in the first couple of years, because they're teaching you habits that you don't know that you're learning. And I believe that's like where the keys are, is those little habits for later.
Yeah. And I think that's what was so helpful for me, is I had already started to learn and practice those habits before even considering bariatric surgery. So maybe not all of like the minute details of, you know, protein first, or, you know, things like that, that you learn in bariatric surgery. But as far as like listening to my body and, you know, eating enough food, eating foods that support my hormones, moving my body, like all of those things I had been practicing for a while. So transitioning into bariatric surgery, I was on kind of the opposite end of some people, where I was like following rules to a T. Like, I was a bit stressed out about it. And now looking back, I wish I would have, or I'm thankful for how everything went, but I think I could have been probably a bit more intuitive and I did a couple things that were different from my program and my plan, because that's what I felt like my body needed.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's always a balance. I think if you have done a lot of work to be in tune with your body, it's okay to listen to that. I think a lot of times we get scared of, oh no, if we listen to it, that's what's going to lead us astray. But I don't know. I definitely am just more of an intuitive person with my approach with things.
Yeah. Well, and we just don't trust ourselves. Like, that's, and I think that's the difference, is a lot of us, and I didn't either. I was like, oh God, like I have to do exactly what they say because I don't trust myself around certain foods or even around certain people with those foods. Yeah. So like it's just different. And plus, like, not a lot of us are in tune in our bodies.
Right.
Like that's a whole skill that you have to learn.
Yeah.
And I know from even for me going from like 308 into the bariatric world, I had no idea what was going on. Like, new sounds, new feelings, like, yeah. You know, crying on random time frames. Like, I had no idea what was happening. It literally, guys, took me a few years to understand what my body was telling me. So that's normal if you don't know. Mm-hmm. But I know Shay was learning that stuff because you wanted to be your fertility. The PCOS was the biggest deal. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but before that, I really was like, I call it like a floating head. Like I didn't have any connection really to my body. Like I was starting to learn it and kind of cultivate it. But I think it's a very common trauma response that many of us have, especially as you gain weight and have excess weight and things are hurting and you feel uncomfortable in clothes and everything just is, it doesn't feel good to be in your body.
Right.
You disconnect from it. And so after having surgery, it was a very intense experience for me of just like connecting to my body, like whether or not I wanted to, because you're doing everything from the start again. You're learning how to drink water again for the first time and eat food eventually, you know, over time. And so it forces you to be in tune to a certain extent. And that can be like a very overwhelming experience.
Yeah. And it is, but it's really cool when you start learning what everything is.
Yep. Yeah.
Like it's okay to feel overwhelmed, but once you start listening in on your own body cues, you're like, oh, this means I'm full. Oh, this means that I need water. Like, this is like, you just have to listen now. And it's really important to learn that skill because you're going to need it when you get outside of these honeymoon phases, for sure.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And that's why I have my background is in psych. I have my master's degree in psychology. And that's like why I loved it so much. It's like putting language to what you're experiencing is so validating. And that's why I've loved this process of learning it for myself, getting to share it with other people. And it's just nice to know that you're not alone. And I know that's so much of what you promote within your community. And it's really cool to have these shared experiences with people. And even Mel and I, like, we're such different people. And if it wasn't for surgery, like, I don't know how we would have connected in any other
right
way, like just logistically speaking, like how would we have met or anything, you know? So it's cool, just all of the people that I've gotten to know and love along the way. And there's just like people in the bariatric community, they're just really cool people.
You guys
so neat.
You guys are so fun and outgoing and you're interesting. Like there's no really dull moment with a bariatric patient.
truly. Well, because I think it's like we just want to have fun and be ourselves. That's been a big part of my journey, is just learning who I am and embracing that and being comfortable and confident in that. And I think that's how it is for a lot of people. And so it's fun when you start knowing how to do that for yourself and then supporting other people in that. Oh, it's just so fun.
Well, and I heard this saying recently, it's like healed people heal people.
Mm.
And I was like, that is true. Like, cause we're healing. And so we want other people to heal around us.
Yeah.
I like that. That's
you
pretty
hear the
cool.
Hurt people hurt people, but I like that one. Healed people heal people. I like that.
Yeah, we need more of that, guys. Mm-hmm. So you got to Blossom.
Yeah.
How did that feel when you woke up for the first time? I saw the video. So
yeah, I know. Yeah, it's funny. I recently, I'll loop back around to answering that question, but I recently just went down to Blossom again with one of my really dear friends. She had surgery, and so I got to live that experience like on the other side of being a support person. And poor thing, it's rough getting up. Like it's a rough start the first 24 hours.
Yes.
And I remember hearing that from people and like going in with that mindset. But it's funny how like, you know, almost 4 years later, it's very easy to forget. And so seeing her experience kind of brought back my experience.
All of yours.
Yep. But yeah, I just remember when I first woke up, I felt really nauseous, which I'm not, like I have a pretty solid stomach, so I don't get nauseous very easily, but obviously, like, with surgery, that's very normal. Yeah. So I remember just feeling very nauseous, and I kept wanting to, like, puke, but the nurses were like, don't do that, because you don't want to, like, disrupt anything that's going on there. So I kept, like, wanting to dry heave, but I had to, like, breathe through it and go, okay, like, it's okay.
Oh,
and
shit. So,
but I don't remember being in a ton of pain initially. They got me up and walking pretty quick, and I just remember being really tired. We got back to the hotel and I just slept for a while, but I had to get up every hour, you know, to walk around. And so Dylan was really great with helping me do that. But it's funny, cause I had even asked Dylan, I'm like, was I in a lot of pain? I just don't remember it. And he's like, yeah, like, you were hurting pretty good. And, you know, but again, it's that, like, the first 24 hours is the worst. So yes. It's like, for me, that's helpful to have a time frame in my mind. And I think in the journey, just going, like, each little step was helpful instead of trying to look at too much too soon. So it was like, okay, I'm just going to get through the first 24 hours and just focus on that. And, but yeah, it's weird. It's just, because it happens so fast when you're, you know, you, like, go out and then you wake up and it's done. And it's just, surgery in itself is just a weird experience.
It really is. Cause you're like, you time jump without realizing that you were actually in that time frame the whole time. It's like, wait, I just woke up. It feels like it's only been maybe 5 minutes. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. How did you feel in front of Dylan? So I only ask this because, like, I know when I had Eric in the room prior, I felt a little uncomfortable. And then afterwards, it was a little uncomfortable. I was just, because I think I was, like, in my head about it, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm this big and, you know, I'm having to go into surgery, and then for him to have to watch me go through it out, you know, like, I was just so anxious about it. So, am I the only one, or were you at all?
I don't think you're the only one, but I didn't feel that way. Like, Dylan and I, we've known each other since we were 15 and 16. And so, like, we really started our relationship as friends and are really just, like, good friends. And so going into surgery, he was very supportive of everything and very encouraging and uplifting, even though he was really nervous about it. Like, he was very supportive. So I didn't feel weird about that piece at all. I felt more self-conscious about my body in general prior to surgery. Like, as I gained more weight, it was that uncomfortability of, like, not feeling like myself and being intimate, and, like, it that part felt probably more uncomfortable, more because for myself rather than surgery itself was fine. And we've just been through a lot together, and so with that, I don't know, I didn't know, he was, like, just very supportive, very helpful, and yeah, I didn't feel uncomfortable or nervous about, like, with
That's
him
good.
At all. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's what you need. That's what you need. Because you just, like, a lot of our support people, some of them just aren't 100% supportive. So
I think that's a big part of it, where, like, we had talked a lot about it and he was very supportive and just wanted me to be, like, healthy, and it took a while. Like, for him, he probably would have wanted to sit and process and think about the decision much longer than I did and what we ended up doing. So I know that was uncomfortable for him, but I felt so strongly that this is what I needed to do for my overall health, that I really advocated for myself, like, with him, with my healthcare team, that it was, like, I think he knew, because he knew how important it was to me, he was able to get behind me and just support me and love me through it. But I would have handled that differently. Like, Dylan and I, we've gone through a lot of growth and change, and I totally see why people don't stay together after having bariatric surgery. We had a lot that we had to work through to get to the place that we are now. So it's like, looking back, I would have handled that whole experience and process differently.
Oh, you would have?
Yeah, just with him. I think I tend to be, like I said, one of those people where when I make a decision on something, I just want to go and get it done and have it happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I probably could have handled, like, I don't know, maybe with a bit more compassion towards him or a bit more understanding that this was going to be, like, a really big journey for him too, because I didn't really take that into consideration when I decided to have surgery. I still know that it would have been the right decision, but maybe just talked with him a bit more or given him a little bit more time to process. Because for me, it was like I had decided Blossom could get me in really quick. And I was like,
Oh,
we're going in the next couple months to get this done. And so it's like, I could have waited another couple months if I had gotten it in, you know, June instead of March. At the time, that would have felt like such a long time. But looking back, if that could have helped him kind of feel a bit more confident with the decision and we could have gone into it with him feeling a little bit better, I just like, why wouldn't I do that? I don't know. But we've worked through a lot of things to kind of get to that point now where I would consider that more now than I did back then.
Well, and I'm just glad you're bringing this up, because I think that we forget about, well, not that we forget about our partners, but we do kind of get on a path where we're like, this is my health, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you don't have a say. You just have to roll with the punches instead of having an actual, like, sit-down conversation about things. And then letting them process, because I'm actually a lot like Dylan. It takes me a lot longer to process. Hence why we're friends. We attract to you because you are very calm and chill about that. You let that process happen. And so I feel like I could have even done the same for Eric. Because, like, you know, I went in February and I had surgery in May. So it was like 3 months later, boom, this is happening. I'm changing our whole lifestyle. Like, because it doesn't just affect you. And I think that's actually something that we should talk about too, is like, when you have a bariatric surgery or any surgery, really, like I had my leg worked on before, people go through like all sorts of different stuff, and we kind of forget about how it affects others. And other people still care about us and love us too. And we need to let them feel seen and heard just as much as we want to be seen and heard. And so I've learned that as well, going through this path of like, oh, we really need to talk more with our support people.
Because it I knew, like, we were both prepared. We had done our own research and we were prepared going in. And I think we went into it a little, or I think maybe I'll just speak for myself. I went into it a little cocky of like, well, Dylan and I have been together for a long time. We've gone through a lot of hard things. Like, I don't think that this is really going to change our relationship that much. Like, I don't think it's going to be that different. And it does. Like,
it does.
It really does, because there's so many things that change. And it's just, I think what it did is it just expedited a lot of growth in my life to have it be, I feel like in the first 2 years after surgery, I probably grew like 10 years worth of growth I had in that time, in those 2 years. And even when you have a supportive partner who's on board with it, that's like a lot to have in a very short amount of time. And so the only, or one of the biggest reasons why Dylan and I stayed together was because he was willing to grow at that same pace with me. And that wasn't really something we talked about or like agreed to before having me having the surgery. Cause I didn't know that was really going to happen in that type of way. Like, it's hard to know that. So, but if he had been more of the mindset of like, whoa, like you are just a very different person and I don't want to kind of grow at the same pace. Like, I don't want to, I can't meet that pace or what's happening. I don't think that we would have been, we would have stayed together, because it just wouldn't have been fair to me. It wouldn't have been fair to him. And so I think a lot of people get freaked out or scared, like, oh no, when you have bariatric surgery, like the divorce rate is what, like 50%, or that's what it was. I don't know if it's still that. But I would just encourage, if that is a concern or a worry, it's like bariatric surgery just kind of brings to the surface what's already there. So for us, it just brought up things that we needed to work through, discussions and conversations that we needed to have. And so, it's not like bariatric surgery that causes divorce. It just, it brings to the surface stuff that's probably already there. So.
Well, and that's what I see through the community. Like, you know, I've been doing the podcast for almost 6 years and I'm 10 years post-op. And that's literally what I see, is the marriages that don't make it are the ones that aren't communicating. they're not talking about what's going on with them, because that's huge, guys. Like, we have to tell them what's going on with us, and then you actually have to sit and listen about what's going on with them. We forget the other side. You gotta just listen to them. Don't interrupt. Just let them get it all out. Pauses, there's a lot of power in the pause with people, yes. especially when we're talking about feelings, mm-hmm. because I know people that I talk to this day, and it's hard for them to tell me what feeling they're having.
Yep.
They can get there, but it's like, we have to talk through it. Yep. And I have to be silent a lot to get them to find that feeling themselves. So just mm-hmm. learn, guys, like, when you're with your partner, like, that's communication's key.
Yeah.
Like, it's number one. Like, I don't think any of us survive. And mine didn't, because people think, oh, well, Mel's divorced, it's probably because of bariatric surgery. And it's like, I don't blame bariatric surgery for ours at all, because my husband became an addict. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, there's, I mean, like, you can't have addicts around that are, you know, mentally and emotionally abusive. So you're like, you got to get out of here.
Well,
but also, I think because of surgery, I had the confidence to yes. actually say, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Yes.
That came with it for sure.
And I think that's the piece where a lot of times people hear, like, relationships, you know, not making it or falling out or whatever. And it's kind of like, oh, that's sad. I'm sorry. But in so many cases, like, I think it's a really good thing. Like, I just think that sometimes, I don't know, different things construct the way we view relationships making it or not. And I've gone on my own journey of that, especially because I grew up very religious. And so that really painted how I viewed marriages and relationships. And I see it very differently than I did with that kind of lens and filter on it. But it's like, I don't know. I always feel really excited and proud of people when they decide to end a relationship, when it's yeah. to support health overall. And I think yeah. if we could more, and those are the conversations that Dylan and I had of, like, we got married really young. He was 19. I was 21. He couldn't even drink legally at our wedding. And so, like, we've been together such a long time. And I think it was very helpful to have very honest conversations of, you know, do we want to take a break and explore life individually? Because we didn't get to do that at all in our 20s. We were married, you know, in that whole time. And so I think just having those conversations and being okay with what the outcomes are. And I think that was really difficult for me in that time of going, there's a very real possibility that Dylan could go, you know, like, I loved who you were, but, like, this isn't working for me now. And I, you know, don't think it's going to work between us, and I'm out, you know, like, that was a very real possibility. And I think it was very helpful for me to sit in that and learn to be not okay. Like, I would have been very sad and devastated if that was the outcome, but it wouldn't have destroyed me. Like, I would Right. have been able to be confident enough in myself and know, like, this is who I am and I love who I am. And if that just doesn't jive or work anymore with Dylan, like, I love him too much to, I want him to be happy. And if Exactly. that's not with me, then that's okay. Like, and it's hard to get to that place. But now that we've worked through stuff individually and together, it just makes our relationship so much richer and better, because it's like, we really do want to be with each other. It's not by default. It's not because we chose to get married when we were 19 and 21. Like, mm-hmm. this is, I really feel like we had, like, a renewal after surgery of going, no, as adults, like, this is really what we want for our lives.
It's like, I still choose you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that you guys are having those honest conversations, because mm-hmm. I think that is the biggest thing missed in surgery time. And I would say, like, just check in with them. Mm-hmm. Like, it could just be, like, once a month, like, hey, man, how you feeling with all of this change? Like, what's yeah. going on? And just tell them how you're feeling. And that's actually how I get people to open up, is I typically will tell them something that's going on with me. Yeah. So that way they know, like, hey, like, we can really talk about this, and it's not going to be a defensive situation. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more of an open, understanding situation, because yeah. marriages are work, and you have to work, both people have to work at it. Mm-hmm. It can't be one-sided. We've seen that several mm-hmm. times through the community where one mm-hmm. side's, you know, changing, working on everything, and the other one's not. Yeah. And that was actually one of the things with me and Eric, too, is that, like, I was growing at a rapid rate, like, mm-hmm. mentally and just, like, evolving, and he yeah. could not mm-hmm. keep up by any means. And we had a conversation about that, and I told him, I was like, you don't have to keep up with me. I go, I don't think that that's even possible for you, but I do think I need you to at least try.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the trying obviously didn't happen. So it was like, mm-hmm. no, we can't yeah. be beating a dead horse anymore. And I am very proud of people too, when they leave a relationship mm-hmm. because it's not, I don't feel like you failed.
No,
no, it's just, it's a teaching
yes.
and a moment and experience of knowing what you actually like and don't like. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to end a relationship because of those things.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait till someone's like infidelity and lying and like have all these big things have to happen for you guys to part ways. You can actually do it acclimable yeah. and be like, you know what? Like, I think we've ran our course. I still care about you, but you know, we shouldn't be together. And like, yeah. that's okay. And I think that we have to get that more normalized.
Yeah.
Because people are so scared of leaving because they think that they failed the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, it's just done. Like, maybe, that's okay.
Maybe instead of worrying about failing your relationship, you should worry about failing yourself. Cause I think staying in relationships that happens a lot, where you end up failing yourself in that process. And that's hard. It's
because you really do. Because you're mm-hmm. really, if you're in a relationship and you're listening to this right now and you're not happy, that means that you're putting yourself on the back burner. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to do that. Like, you know, like, listen to yourself. Like, you know what you want. And sometimes it's not easy to get out of relationships. I understand it. But you can. And you don't have to live that way if you don't want yeah. to.
And it's okay. I think, like, there were definitely times in me and Dylan's marriage, especially after surgery, where neither of us were happy, like, in different ways. Like, especially because I had to, like, we had to adjust expectations and plans. Because going into surgery, one of the biggest things was, like, I wanted to have kids.
Yeah.
And so after they, you know, they recommend 12 to 18 months is like safe to start trying. And so when my year mark came up, I was like, all right, like, let's go. Like, I've lost all this weight. At that time I had lost probably about like 80 to 90 pounds or so.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, all right, like, let's start trying. And Dylan was like, whoa, like, I don't even know who you are. Like, you're this new person and that's great. But he's like, what helped kind of click it for me, because I was pissed. Like, I was really yeah. mad. I was like, I just went through all of this. Like, and the biggest reason was to like have kids. And now like you want to wait even longer, even though like we've had to wait like longer. And
yeah,
I was very mad. And, he had said, though, he was like, and this was all like, we went to therapy together. So this was like with the help of our therapist and all of that. But he had said, like, I feel like I've been dating you for a year and you're wanting to have kids with me. Like, that's what it feels like. And so even though, yes, we have this shared history, and at that point we had been together, what was it? Yeah, 8 years, you know, married, no, do math, hold on. Married 6 years.
There we go.
And together for, you know, we'd been together total of 10 years at that point. He's like, you're a totally different person and I like who I'm seeing. But like, he's like, it literally feels like if I had been dating somebody or like with somebody for a year and they were like, let's have kids together. He's like, that just feels very soon for me. And so we had to work through that a lot. And I was, again, still pissed, but I did have time to process and work through it and go, like, okay, that's fair. Like, I do understand that. And
yeah. Well, that had to be a surprise.
Yeah, for you. It was. Well, and for him, too, because he was at a point where, like, I'm always careful. I don't want to speak for him. But, like, we had decided we wanted to try for kids, you know, before ever having surgery. But also, too, it was definitely me pushing that. Like, I think that's fair to say. And again, I'm always careful. I don't want to speak for him or his experience. But I do feel like I was driving that. I really wanted to have kids and start trying instead of looping him into that conversation more on the front end. Yes. So I think during that process, I learned, or I think what I was also saying was, when we had initially started trying to conceive, it definitely was driven by me, of like me wanting to have kids. And I don't think I gave him the space or safety to voice how he was actually feeling about that. And I'm really careful. Like, I don't want to like, speak on his experience or his process through that. But I think now, after going through all the stuff we have and talking about it, it's like, it feels much more like we're on the same page of, we do want kids. Where before it felt like I was kind of pushing for it and he was just going along with it to make me happy. And right. That's not healthy. Like, that's not a good place to be. So there were a lot of situations like that where I definitely was more dominating in that way of like pushing what I wanted and focusing on that rather than bringing him into the conversation to actually have a say in that. And I just didn't make it a super safe environment for him to do that, because then I'd have big reactions of, if he disagreed with me or didn't want to do it, then I'd be like, well, this sucks, and you know. And so it's been a lot of work and a lot of processing, and it's taken a lot to get here.
I would imagine. And I think that they need to hear that, though, because it does take work. Like,
well, and you see like all of the highlights of things, and even on my stuff, like I share a lot of the good stuff, and I try to keep it real, but it's also hard. I feel like with Dylan and I never want to talk for him, because I think that's something that I'm guilty of doing in the past, of assuming things or talking on his behalf. And so I'm very cognizant of not doing that. So it's hard, I think, when relationships are involved, to show kind of both sides, because it's like, I just want to respect like his privacy and the stuff that he's working through. But I also want to share my experience if it's helpful for people. But it is, it's a lot of hard work. And there were lots of conversations we had where we were like, I don't know what to do. Like, I remember us like having several words like, well, this is what I really want. And he'd say, well, this is what I really want. And I don't know how we get there in the middle. And sometimes it's okay just sitting with that and going, yeah, we don't know what to do from here. Like, we had, and it's very uncomfortable to do that. And we've had lots of conversations like that of just going, well, I don't know. You want to just watch a movie now? Like, I guess we're not going to make any progress tonight with things. Like, I guess let's just maybe think on it and come back and talk about it another time, or wait and bring it up with our therapist and talk about it at that point. And I think that's something that I haven't seen relationships in my life model that. And that's something that Dylan and I have talked a lot about, where we've seen a lot of people who have been in long-term relationships either kind of go on co-pilot after a while, become roommates, like not really, you can tell they don't really like each other. And like, that just makes me feel sad. Or there's usually some like big event that happens, like, you know, infidelity, or somebody leaves somebody, and it's kind of like this big blowout situation. And when we were working through things, it's like, we don't really want to do either of those things. Like, we do like being together. We want to be together, we think, but it's like, I don't know how to, I don't want either of those options that we've seen. Right. So it's like, well, shit, what do we do then? I don't know. Cause we haven't really had that modeled with anybody really in our life, maybe some friends that are close to us, but that are at the same age, but like, we just don't know many people that have chosen to do a different path besides like the co-pilot roommate option, or there's some type of blowout. And then maybe they go on to have like a good second relationship or something, but I don't know. I like, we have a really hard time and thinking about people that we know who hasn't had something like that happen. I don't know.
Well, because it's very rare. It typically takes to an extreme for people to leave instead of just doing it when it should have happened. Like, even looking back on mine, like I should have left 5 years before I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I remember the photo where I'm thinking that in that photo.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the date and I was like, oh my God, that was like 5 years before I really did anything. And it's like, yeah, like you have these thoughts for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming through, guys. So just, that's the whole thing about listening to yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know, for those out there that are handling PCOS, infidelity issues, having to talk to their spouse about all this, like, how do you keep the, like, romance and sex alive? Like, how does that even work?
I know. It's, I think being okay with, like, different seasons of life, like, bringing different things, and that it's not always going to be, I think, it's not always going to be so challenging and difficult, and it's not always going to be fun and lighthearted. And I think during those seasons of where it was really challenging, I think Dylan and I both could see the outcome of it being what we wanted it to be. So that's kind of what kept us going through the hard times, or kept me going through the hard times of going, I know I really love him as a person. And even if this results in us not being together, I think working through this and getting on the other side of it, even if we're separate, like when we're not a couple anymore, I can see us being happier and more fulfilled as people, no matter what the outcome mm-hmm. or the end result is. So like, let's keep going through it. And I'm thankful like it's resulted in us still being together. But if it hadn't have been, it would have been okay. So I think that's the other thing, is like not focusing so much on the outcome you want, but being more focused on what's going to make you a happier individual in the long run. And I know the way that I grew up, like in my head, I have those thoughts of like, oh no, that's being selfish, or like you need to be thinking about your partner. But I think that's the biggest mistake that we made. And again, a lot of it was how we were raised and grew up, is like thinking that we had to make it all about the other person. But if you don't know who you are, you don't know what you want or what you like, you can't share that with a partner, and like they can't be that for you. And so it really does have to start with you, and it's really challenging to process through and learn who you are as your partner is doing the same thing,
because
that's very much what we experienced. But I think just not being so focused on the outcome and being open-minded to whatever the logistics are of making you and your partner the happiest and healthiest you can be. And I think that was a big part, was letting that go for myself, of like, that could mean at the end of all this work that Dylan and I like aren't going to be compatible, or like, or it's not going to work out, and being okay with that. For us though, what it did, kind of getting back to more of like that spark and that romance, is after we worked through a lot of our individual shit, it was like, for me at least, I could say like, I was like, oh my gosh, like I really like him as a person. Like he is such a cool guy. And like it was like we went through this phase of dating again, mm-hmm. because we were, in a lot of ways, we were completely different people than we were when we were 19 and 21. Like, thank God, right? Like, that's good. And it was falling in love with him again and going, oh my gosh, like, even if I had just met him out at a bar or like, you know, by random, like I would still be very drawn to him and want to get to know him more. And so that's kind of launched into, I feel like now we're in a very like fun and explorative and like lighthearted season in our relationship. But the only reason for us, I think, that we could get there was because we went through a lot of mud to get to that point. So,
well, and that's really what you have to do if you want it. You guys got to fight for each other and yourselves. And I think that's the one of the thing that's missed as younger folks, like, cause I was married at 21 as well. But I'm noticing all those relationships that I know that started that young, like, you guys are the only ones that are still together. Like, and it's because you're trying to grow with someone and you don't know really who you are 100%. And there's no way for you to know that at 21.
No.
It's just not feasible for you to know all those things. Your brain's not even fully developed at 21, 19, you know?
And I think we just got lucky in the sense that we are still very compatible, but that's very, like you're saying, that's very unusual and uncommon. Like, because if we had different things where it's like, no, like, I really feel like like for Dylan, if he was like, no, I really want to pursue music and like I need to move to a bigger city to do that, and I would still be open to it, but like let's just say like I wasn't in that space and I was like, mm-hmm. no, like I want to settle down and like and have kids, and like he's like, I don't want to have kids, like if there wasn't that compatibility anymore, I think that would be another time that would be like, yeah. I just don't think that that'll work, and I love you too much as a person to like not have you follow your dreams and do what you think is going to make you happy. But we've always just been, I think, lucky in that sense that we have been very compatible. And I think that's something that's often overlooked in relationships by people, is they don't take into account, because I mean that's kind of like boring, that's not sexy to say that, right. If you're compatible with someone, it's like you want to fall in love with the idea of like it being like so romantic and red hot and like, oh, I just can't live without the other person. And it's like, that's great for a while, but in a long-term relationship, like there does have to be, I think, compatibility.
There has to be. Yeah.
And if there's not, it just doesn't work. So I think that's another thing too, where I think it is just kind of luck in a way that as we've learned who we are authentically, we've still, our goals and stuff have still remained compatible. And I think that's something that's important to call out. And cause I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, if I do all this work and my partner does all this work and the end result is that we're not compatible and we're not in a relationship. Again, I don't think that's a failure. I don't see it as a failure with that. It's just things maybe just aren't compatible anymore, and that's okay.
Well, and that's the part, is that we're so scared of it, that it's not okay, and that we're never going to find another person, and we all get really insecure with that, and even I go through my ups and flows of being confident in those situations, so it's like, it's a learned skill that we just all have to figure out on our own, and I really emphasize therapy, because I waited way too long to be in therapy, y'alls. So I know me and Shay are both advocates of like, as soon as you can, when you can afford it or your health insurance can cover it, go, because the weight will come off. Like it's almost impossible for it to not come off. Yeah. But it does not fix the mental health part of this at all.
And I had done a lot of therapy, like been a part of a lot of therapy since college. So like for years before leading up into getting bariatric surgery. And even with all that, like there were still things that caught me off guard, and I did a lot of therapy after the fact too. So it's like, I think that's another area I went in a bit cocky and confident, like of like, oh, I have done a lot of this work. So and I did, and it was helpful. Mm-hmm. And I still needed a lot more.
Well, because you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
Yep. And so what kind of things did pop up that were random for you that you just weren't expecting? And that could be anything.
Yeah, definitely social dynamics with people. That's something that I was not fully prepared for. I was in some ways, or I thought in my head, like I was kind of prepared with like relationship stuff with me and Dylan, just because like I think that's what gets talked about most often is like spousal or like partner relationships. But I wasn't prepared for like friendship dynamics changing, just people in my life and the way that I approached people. It just, that was a big shock, where it was like, things that used to feel okay to me all of a sudden started rubbing and going, oh my gosh, this does not feel good in this relationship with this person, or this doesn't feel good anymore. Then it's like,
yeah,
what do I do with that now? Cause I'm the one that's changed. It's not that they're doing anything different necessarily, but learning how to navigate relationships and being okay, kind of back to what we were saying about like being okay with relationships in your spousal relationships ending, being okay with that with friendship dynamics or other relationships in your life too. And I think I used to see it as this like big deal of like, oh man, this big falling out with people if you don't talk with them or whatever. But again, I don't know, I try to approach things more with more neutrality of like, we're just in different seasons of life, and like maybe it's just, we have different views on things, and like I can still love them as people, but it's okay to not be interacting all the time, or like that doesn't mean that I don't love them or they don't love me. It's just not a season for that. And so I think the social dynamics is something that was really surprising, and also making new friends like within the bariatric space, especially like I didn't even know this community existed going into it. I wish I would have, because I would have plugged in a lot sooner than I did.
Right. Yeah.
But I had no idea that I was going to be like meeting new people and making connections. I almost kind of felt like my time had passed with that because like I had gone to college and I was working full time while going to college, and I didn't really have like a traditional where you go and stay away at college. Like I didn't really make friends in college. And then I went straight into work, and I was like, I don't know, like I think almost like my social opportunities to meet people have kind of like died out. And so I just was okay with that. And like, I'm good with the people I have in my life, and that's cool. But then having this whole new like group of people open up that I wasn't expecting, it was like, that was really cool and surprising.
Right. We're here. We're here. Yeah. Like it's so, this group is so fun.
Yes.
Like, and it does not matter what age you are or what you look like. We all connect on a whole different level. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this with my brother because, like, I'm noticing, and I should have noticed this earlier, but not everybody has, like me and my brother are tight. Like, even my younger brother, but right now I'm talking about my older brother because we grew up together. Mm-hmm. We're only 3 years apart. And I've been talking to other friends that have another, like, sibling. But I'm noticing me and my brother were way closer than a lot of these siblings. And I'm like, oh, this is so weird. Like, I didn't realize, like, how the dynamics can be different. Like, I just assumed everybody had a good, like, time with their sibling. And not even just a good time, just, like, that bonding thing happened. Yeah. And, you know, me and my brother have been through some crazy trauma together. Mm-hmm. And I now see it when we're in the room together. There's a different level of love and bond that we have that no one else will have, right? Yep. And it's the same with the community. Like, no matter what, there's this one thing that we all shared. Mm-hmm. We got to our lowest point. We said we have to change something, and we actually did it.
Yeah.
And when you're around other people like that, oh my God, like guys, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it because it's the best fucking feeling when you're at meetups or you're at the award show and you're going through everything with everyone. Like it's so much fun.
It's just so healing because you feel so seen and loved and special. And I think that's something that if you've experienced excess weight and what that can feel like, because when I say that too, it's excess weight, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, all of that that comes with it. To know that another human being like knows what that feels like and loves you and accepts you anyway, it's like it's such a special feeling.
Mm-hmm. It is. So I recommend, guys, if you're scared to talk to any of us in the community, don't be message us. I answer all my messages. Yeah. I know Shay does the same. And meetups, like if we see you in a corner quiet, we'll just go grab you. That's what we have done since day one. So do not feel nervous to come out. I mean, it's normal if you do, but just come out and we're all going to have fun together.
It's okay if you're like kind of awkward and nervous and shy and don't really know what to say or do. Like that's totally okay. I think that I've like really learned social skills from being part of this community and going to in-person meetups. I was just telling Dylan about that because I had a work conference thing that I went to, and I am a social person, but I do a lot better when it's like one-on-one with people. So when it's a big group, I don't always know kind of how to integrate, or I can feel kind of awkward and I don't know what to do. And going to these bariatric meetups has helped me so much with that. Cause it's like I was at a work conference thing and it's like, I could talk to people so much easier and kind of knew how to do small talk a bit better, like, and learned how to do that. And so even if you're not good at it, like, we don't care. Like I think that's the thing with the bariatric community. There's so little judgment that if you make mistakes or you say something stupid or whatever, it's like, we all do that all the time. It's fine.
Yeah. And no one blinks an eye about it. They're just like,
we
don't care. And I think it's because we've all been socially awkward at some point in our life that we just don't give two shits. We're like, you stutter, don't care. You missed a word, don't care. Like not even a problem.
Yeah.
So what are some things, like what are some NSVs you've had through the years? Because we all know the scale is going to stop.
Yeah.
And if you're hearing this and it hasn't stopped for you, I'm very happy for you. But we need to celebrate everything because the scale does stop. So what are some things that you've celebrated?
Yeah, one of my biggest NSVs is having more regular cycles and like hormones being balanced, like being able that's just amazing. I still don't have super regular cycles, and there's a lot of things that still contribute to that, but just like fertility, health, and well-being is huge, and that's helped a lot with having surgery. I also too like have become super outdoorsy. Like I grew up in LA, and so like I grew up going to the beach and stuff, but not doing like physical activities of like hiking or things like that. But I live in Southern Oregon now. And man, I have been outside more in the last 4 years than I had and like my whole life probably. And so like that's been really fun because it's led to Dylan and I, we got a camper, so we do like a lot of camping, and like I did paddle boarding. We got paddle boards last year, and I'm able to stand up, and like I think just like how like moving my body, it's so freaking cool.
It is.
Yeah.
It's just I love watching these NSVs come around. Like it's just so fun to
I know.
See.
It's so cool. Being in the bodybuilding competition was really fun. I know you're getting prepped and ready for that, for Radical Body Transformation. And
that's right.
Being on stage in a gold bikini, never in a million gazillion years did I ever think I would do something like that. But that was a really cool experience. Disneyland, going to Disneyland has been so fun. And just being able to, like, I think there a lot through, like, physically how my body is moving, that's been really a bit like a lot of NSVs there, more than I could probably think of right now.
Oh, I bet, because that's the one thing is like we can move a lot better now, like, and we're not like huffing and puffing, we're not sweaty all the time. Now I realize like I was sweaty because I was big. Like, I just thought like, oh, I'm just a, you know, like it's hot outside, and you know, like, oh, I'm just. When I'm wearing a sweater because I want to like not let people see what I look like. So I'm like, all right, that's just why I'm sweaty. And it's like, oh no, you had a lot of insulation here.
Well, but- and think of all of that excess weight carrying. Like I remember when I lost my first 50 pounds, I was like, ooh, I'm going to go on the treadmill and walk with like 50 pounds to like celebrate. It's heavy. Like heavy. Even though it's distributed, it's like, gosh, yeah, if I was carrying, you know, 115 extra pounds of weight, like of course I'd be sweaty and hot, like that would be a lot,
right?
You know, it's a lot.
Well, we just don't give our bodies credit because it's like, man, like I'm finally totally down 140 pounds.
That's so exciting.
Insane to even think about. But yeah, no wonder I was sweaty and uncomfortable and annoyed half the time because I was
irritable.
Just,
I was so irritable all the time. Yeah.
I'm more chill than I've ever been in my life because I'm not thinking about being scared of people seeing me anymore. Yeah. I'm not afraid of where I'm going to sit anymore.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like I can wear a dress and be like totally chill and still be warm. Like,
No, it's wild. And I think that's the biggest thing too, is just the mental clutter I've been able to let go of. Like initially right after surgery, because I wasn't thinking about how much weight to lose, it freed up a lot of my brain capacity. And at first it was like, oh gosh, that's when a lot of like my other issues came up that I needed to work on. But now that I've worked through a lot of that, just having more of that, like, peace and like calmness and serenity in my mind and heart and spirit, like that actually is probably the biggest NSV of just like having a more peaceful and like quiet life. Like,
yeah,
it's so cool.
It's so nice. And I know this sounds like hoopla, but I know you'll agree with me, Shay, is like when you go on this journey, and it's going to start around year 3 and 4, is because you're in maintenance mode. And if you are able to tackle maintenance mode, and I say tackle because it's a beast to do, but it's really what I notice is once your mind and your body's aligned, all of a sudden everything works like hummingly, like it's smooth. It is so, it's smooth as butter, but it takes a lot of work to get there. But guys, it will happen where things are happening because it's just second nature now. You're getting your water, you're getting your protein, you went to your therapy appointment, you moved your body, like it's just naturally happening. You're gonna love it.
Or when you, and I guess when you have road bumps, like I'm even in a season right now, this is my second go around of experiencing some regain from my lowest weight. It's like, I know what to do and I'm not panicked about it. I think that's the biggest thing. The first time I experienced regain, there was a lot of panic and shame and fear around it.
Yes.
This time it's like, okay, I know what to do. I have tools. I can use a GLP-1 medication. I'm like fortunate to where I can do that financially. I can do that. I know like what I need to get back to the basics of including more protein, making sure I'm getting my water in, moving my body. And so I think that's the other thing that I'm really enjoying about this season of like, it's not such a panic. It's like, I've done it before. It'll be mm-hmm. okay. And so I can just put my head down, focus, get it done. And it's not a big deal. And I think that yeah. feels really nice.
It does. It does. Because guys, you have all the resources now at your fingertips. Because before we didn't, even know what protein first, protein most really meant. Yeah. We're like, why are we doing that? Yeah. Like, this makes no sense. What's why protein? Do I need, mm-hmm. why do I need 80 plus, ounces of water? This seems excessive,
but
no, there's reasons. And you start feeling really good when you hit all of your goals and mm-hmm. they're just little goals of, get your protein in, take your vitamins every day, get that water in, get sleep, move your body, do a mental health check. Those are the six pillars that I talk about all the time. Some people say it's five, but I added therapy in as a six because mm-hmm. I think it's more important, I think, than others.
Yes.
Like movement, you can actually lose weight by just changing your full diet. 80% mm-hmm. of it's your mm-hmm. diet. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel like mental health is even more important because you're doing lots of work that mm-hmm. happened as a kid or in your young teens. And like, for me, like I'm unboxing a lot right now. Mm-hmm. These past, I've been in therapy now for a year and it's like, yeah, we're still unboxing.
Yep.
So many things. And I've even had to change my day several times because sometimes that unboxing's huge, guys.
Yeah.
And you need time to process it. And then you go on walks and you talk to your friends and you get it out, you journal, and now you're doing things that are actually healthy instead of just feeding yourself. Because that's what I would do. I would have a bad day or, you know, me and Eric had a fight or me and my mom had a fight. And now I'm just like eating everything in my path.
Yep.
And now it's different. It's like, oh no, I'll go talk to Shay. I'll go on a walk. You know, I'll take Nova out. I'll play a game. Like, mm-hmm. it's different now. You have to change.
And those that are hearing all these things, right? Like the pillars, going to therapy, eating, da 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 da. I know that at one point in my life, like all of that felt like so much. And it was like, oh my gosh, like I can't do all of that. And I just want to like be encouraging that it's like you have time. There's no timeline. You can learn and do these things at your own pace. And it's like it just accumulates and works over time. So it's like I'm almost 4 years out. Mel is 10 years plus out. If you're just like a year out, like don't try to do all of that all at once. Like you have time. The journey extends past 1 year out. And I think that was something I didn't realize in that first year. It's like I thought I had to get all of it done right then and there. And it's like, nope, you have plenty of time to learn this. So don't stress.
Well, and we make the timeline.
Yes.
So remember that. Like
me and Mel, we make the timeline for you. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. Just call us up, email us. We'll give you a timeline just for you. It's curated just to your blood type.
No. Yes.
but yeah, you have to learn this. It takes a long time. And we get to make the rules now.
Yep.
And I need some people that know me closely, I'll say no parents.
Yep.
And I'm like, no parents. And they're like, what? I'm like, you can do whatever you want. This is a point where you get to choose whatever you want to do, whether you want to eat that, you want to drink that, you want to go to this place. Like you get to make those. And I put 18 months on myself. I was like, you have to lose everything in 18 months or you're going to fail and you're horrible. And then I realized like, why did I do that? Like no one else put a timeline on me at all. Like not my surgeon, not my dietitian. Well, just me.
I do think where some of that comes from is like, I know my program and other programs are very like the first year you have to capitalize on that time. And like, to an extent, I totally agree. And I understand where they're coming from, but it's like my body composition has changed more in the last year compared to like the first 2 years. Like, it's just, it's interesting how, like, you can always be learning and growing and changing things. It doesn't have to be in that first little stint.
No, you got so much time, so much.
The rest of your life.
Yeah, before we wrap up, how is the workouts and the eating going when you're this far out?
Yeah, it's really good. It's like, it's easier to, for me, I am lucky. I haven't had any complications. And so a lot of what I eat, like if you were to see me just out and about eating, you wouldn't really necessarily know I had bariatric surgery. Like I eat enough food to fuel my workouts, to fuel my body. I still like just brief rundown. I try to do still like 5 to 6 meals a day. So that way I'm getting enough, you know, food throughout the day. And I like kind of having smaller amounts, but more frequently throughout the day. Yep. But I eat a lot of, you know, whole protein. I try to stick to more like whole foods in general. I eat some processed stuff, but I love cooking and you know that obviously. So I love trying new recipes and doing new things, but definitely around the holidays, I got a bit lax with just like kind of snacking here and there and eating things I normally don't. And so right now I'm just focusing on making sure I'm hitting my protein goals, hitting my water. And then I work out about 2 to 3 times a week. I walk every day. And so I don't have like major goals with that. I'm just kind of in the process of just building muscle and feeling good. And I really genuinely love that my strength training days, again, that used to feel like something that was a punishment. And now it's something I really look forward to doing. It helps with my mental health. I feel better after. And so, yeah, it's kind of like boring in a sense, but like in a really good way. Like I'm having a lot of fun with it. So,
well, and that's why I asked you, because I know you are not like in the gym every single day. Mm-mm. You know, you're not, trying to hit these crazy goals. You're just literally just trying to find what works for you and fits into your routine.
Yep.
Because that's what needs to happen, guys. In order for you to be successful is find a workout you like. Mm-hmm. Like, I found out I love cycling and rowing, but I wouldn't have known if I didn't try it.
Yeah.
And I love the elliptical now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, find things that you actually enjoy, because then you're actually going to look forward to going. Mm-hmm. And then, 2 to 3 times a week, like, that seems so doable because it is doable. And you can put it, like, me and Shay sat down 2 days ago and just went through time blocks. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important for you guys, too, is, like, just put in the block.
Yep.
This is just what I'm doing. That's like a do not disturb time frame.
Yep.
And call it good.
We make time for so many things in our day. And so like, I'm always one that's checking myself when I say I don't have time for things. I really try to never say that. It's more of like, what am I wanting to put my time towards? And some days it's okay. Like where I'm like, I'm wanting to put this towards just laying on my couch and watching TV, but at least it's intentional and I'm being mindful of it. Versus saying, oh, I don't know where the day went or where my time went. It's like we all have the same amount of time every day. So it's easy to plan it in that way. And you have to adjust it as you go sometimes. And also like work, I like to work with my body depending on how I'm feeling. And so I, you know, I'm adjusting all the time, but it's nice not ever, I rarely feel like, oh my gosh, where did my time go? I don't have time for anything, because I try to be very intentional about that.
And that's a really good thing to pick up as you go along this journey, being intentional with your time and money. Mm-hmm. Those are the two that I am big on. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, Ms. Shay. Is there any tips and tricks you want to give out before we go?
I think just more just reiterating, like you have time, don't rush. Like it's going to be okay. It'll be okay. Wherever you're at, whatever stage you're at, it's going to be okay.
Yep, I agree. And for those that don't know, me and Shay host a book club and the Weekly Chew. And the Weekly Chew is where you get recipes, instructions, a grocery list. You get your macros. So we've taken all the guesswork out of it, and we go live every other Tuesday with one of the recipes that are on there. Mm-hmm. And then we meet on the opposite Tuesdays for the book club. So if you guys want to join that and be a part of that and just be more in the community, like join us. We have over 100 people. It's patreon.com/OSLP. pick those tiers, and you get to hang out with us every week, basically. Yeah, so
you get, it's you a lot get of fun. What you give, right? Like, what you put mm-hmm. out is what you receive. And so if you're in a place of like, man, like, I don't feel like I have any community, or I don't, like, I feel lonely, it's like, you do have to take that first step of like initiating and being vulnerable, putting yourself out there. But I promise, if you're willing to take that step, you'll be met with like so much community, so much love and support. But you do have to be the one to make that decision to do that. And I feel like your community, Mel, that you've built is like such a safe place and like such a great place to do that with. And yeah, we'd love to see you at the book club, at the Weekly Chew. We have a lot of fun over there.
Yeah, we do. So come hang out with us. You guys know the drill. Make sure you're getting your water, your protein. Get your ProCare vitamins. Use OSLP. Mm-hmm. Get that sleep. Get your mental health going. And lastly, don't be an asshole.